Okay, why don't we call this to order?
Calling the meeting to order, a meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission, December 13th, 2017, 7 o'clock here at Village Hall. Calling the roll, Commissioner Prestis.
Here.
Commissioner Popowitz.
Here.
Commissioner Raina Ogden.
Here.
Chairman Zarowski.
Here.
Commissioner Graham White.
Here.
Commissioner Pritz.
Here.
Commissioner Franning.
Here.
We have a quorum.
So, most of you were probably here last week, or at Lincoln School last week. We don't have to repeat everything that was said last week, but if anybody has anything new to say, and I think, Jan, you sent me a note suggesting that you might.
And before we do that, thanks, Jan. This is a continuation of the public hearing. Because of that, we're just going to do one group swearing in. So if you think you might speak.
Yeah, I know you were all sworn in last time if you were here, but let's do it all again. So anyone who thinks they might want to speak tonight, stand up and raise your right hand. Do you solemnly affirm that the testimony you shall give in the matter at issue in this public hearing shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, Jan.
Hi, Jan Sager, 435 William. I urge everybody to get over to the library. There's a wonderful exhibit by the Historical Society about River Forest, some historical materials, and a nice board featuring the E.A. Cummings development on William, and along with the ad. My comments tonight were not mentioned before. I think it would help to hear from the Hess family, the sellers, about what they did during the sales process to encourage saving the house, meaning what were conversations that they had with potential buyers, what might have been in a sales agreement. And I think this is for knowledge, you know, maybe for future. Speaking a couple times, the family member who spoke a couple times about saving the house, but it was after the sale was completed. What did they tell the buyer maybe about the historic importance of the block? I think they did know, and yet on Realtor.com, there's no statement about historic 700 block of William. So I think, you know, in that respect, that the HPC has a hard time doing that kind of, I call it, heavy lifting. Residents are voicing concern about the next time and the next time and the role of future seller. What can current owners do to point up the importance of the block when trying to sell the home? Or, you know, will you be watching your old neighbors coming to the HPC asking them, you know, to save the house after it's been sold? Maybe some of the residents could contact the owner or listing agent of 750 William to voice their concerns and ask about putting the reference to the historic block on the sales listing. You're working on worthy projects, the lampposts, the plan on the Right Plus tour, and you should continue documenting on Facebook. I think it's a living, breathing document. Homeowners can add protections to their individual properties. There's the Historical Society plaque, which you can put on the front of the house. It's not a legal protection, but it shows pride of place. Have your house designated as a local landmark, which gives RHPC then more legal power. Put the preservation easement on your home. Thank you for listening. I hope you'll get this hammered out tonight and get to a conclusion. So thank you for listening.
Thanks, Jan. Anybody else have anything? Okay, with that being said,
I'm just going to take care of this real quick.
Go ahead, yeah, okay.
Just wanted to make sure everybody was aware. It's been shared with the commission. This is a letter that I'm going to enter into the record as a supplement to the applicant's application. It's a letter dated December 10th from the architect on the project, Patrick Magner. He provided a bit more detail on his investigation into the condition of the existing foundation and included a couple of more pictures. So again, that's been shared with the commission as part of the application.
Okay, so I guess it's probably time for us to have a little bit of discussion among the commissioners, unless somebody wants to.
May I, in regard to that letter that was just referred to, may I have the architects on our committee react to this letter? What do they think about the letter and the pictures that I see here? What's their reaction to it? The value of it or non-value of it?
My reaction is that there are 25 homes there, is that correct?
20.
Built at the same time with the same construction techniques.
Okay.
They all have two stories. They're all standing. That's my reaction, Al. That there's a sentence here that says that it's not adequate to support
yes.
the second floor.
Correct.
As an inference that it should be torn down. And I would say there are 24 other homes that have the exact same foundation condition.
Yes.
That are standing fine.
Do we know that? Do we know the other houses have the same foundation construction?
They were all built at the same time by
I
the
know
same
that.
Contractor.
Okay.
That's a pretty. I don't know that for sure, but it's pretty easy assumption for me to make.
Yeah.
It's a pretty unique thing we're dealing with here.
May I read just the last paragraph or the last few sentences into the record of this letter? Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Okay. There's some technical stuff here, which quite frankly, is I don't have the training or the expertise to even remark on. There's the thickness, et cetera, of the concrete floor. There's a lot of technical stuff which only an architect and maybe a builder would really understand. I, as a member of the community, quite frankly, do not. But the final few sentences. This minimal amount of concrete is not adequate to serve as a footing to carry the load of a two-story building. It has been merely placed at the time of construction to provide a level surface to begin laying a block foundation wall. Also note, a hole has been broken into the foundation wall, which indicates the concrete block is hollow. I assume it's not solid, it's hollow, which to me infers that it's not as strong as if it were a solid piece of concrete. That's all. I just wanted to read that into the record. That's all.
In response to that, I also called a structural engineer that I work with. It's in Schiller Park.
Yes.
He said he's run into this many times before. He said you wouldn't add weight to this, but as it's been there as a two-story home, it's obviously having been there for how many years? When was this built? 1916, almost 100 years.
100 years.
That time's a pretty good teacher in this case.
But 100 years is a long time.
Yes.
This foundation has been under stress, and some of the pictures, quite frankly, are not complimentary. I see what to me, my eyes, look like a lot of rubble, quite frankly. And I'm not impressed by what I see here as far as its integrity.
The slab,
to a layman.
The slab itself is a different condition. That's about an inch and a half. It should be 4 to 5 inches thick for a true slab.
Okay. Okay.
We call those rat slabs. They report to keep animals from burrowing up underneath the slab way back when.
Okay.
So that's a given that's got to be replaced.
Okay. What's got to be replaced?
The slab.
The concrete slab underneath
And it's a great opportunity to put in a drain tile system. Go to a sump pump and make sure no water ever enters the basement at that point and put in a slab. It could also add heat to that slab, makes a wonderful basement. Use a water heater to hook up pipes to it to heat the slab.
Okay.
So that's a given. It's got to be replaced. I'm sure every house been worked on probably had that slab replaced, is my guess.
Okay. The other concern, may I continue or am I taking up?
Sure. And the only other thing that I would add is the reason that it looks like rubble is because investigation was done.
Yes, I understand.
And
that.
That's why it's that's
but
the,
also
that's
I,
why there's
I,
rubble on the photograph.
That's a good point. But also, I did get a chance to investigate the building. We all did. And
sure.
There was considerable, what I consider, I would call rubble downstairs. In the basement down there. I was just thrown off. Just give me 1 second, please. Sometimes my mouth goes faster than my brain. So give me a second here to think about this. What's my point going to be? I'm sorry, I've lost the thought. Let's go on, and if I think of it, I'll continue.
Well, okay, so continuing on this, because I didn't know how to interpret the letter either, right? And I don't know if it's too late to have comment because we're a discussion, but...
Do you want to add comment?
What was the intent of the letter?
Whatever you want me to add, I'll add. But.
Well, in terms of the conclusion that you drew from the investigation that you did. I mean, I know you sent it to us. And you're listening to the comments. I mean, are you concerned about about building on top of this? Are you concerned about additional weight, roof, something settling?
My name is Pat Magner, and yes, I'm the architect for the project. I'm not so much concerned about the additional weight. The fact is that it was not placed as what we would now consider a footing. A footing that would be placed for a general construction is wider than the wall by some dimension, maybe only 4 or 5 inches, depends. I broke three holes in floors in buildings in Chicagoland last week, so I see this stuff all the time. But what was there was coarse underneath, so it was clearly just dug out as a trench, a base course of concrete that was 2.5 to 3 inches thick that extended in on the inside of the wall by 2.5 inches, and then the concrete block was laid over the top of it. A footing that would be placed for a structural load would be generally a little thicker, maybe 8 inches, 6 to 8 inches, and somewhat wider than the wall. I'm working right now, just as a note, I'm working on the restoration of a Burnham and Root building in Chicago. I broke a hole in that floor last week. There are sandstone blocks that extend 12 inches into the basement. And they're massive. They're carrying the weight of the building. In this instance, I don't see that as a structural member. Yes, it's been there 100 years. But perhaps that's part of the reason why the building has moved so much, why there's 3 inches of settlement in one room and not another. The walls, there's walls that have cracks in them because those blocks are not reinforced. There's shifting in them. It's not a substantial foundation by today's standards. I totally agree with you that they can be dug out, you can put a curb in, you can lower the floor, you can put a drain tile. But that's not the purpose of that, what Rob and Mark want to do with the house. They're not there to salvage a foundation and get this place restored to the condition it's in. That's not their goal. And so I understand that's very valid. You can do that. I've done it many, many times in houses in Oak Park, River Forest, Chicago, you name it. But that's not the purpose of what they're trying to do.
What is the purpose then?
The purpose is to build a new house. This was mentioned last week. They bought the house to make a profit. That's their job. That's what they do.
The first time we met with Mr. Sarvis, he said he bought the house with the intention of renovating it.
Obviously, that's changed since the time you guys discussed that. I got involved in this thing in October, I believe. And at the time I got involved in it, there was not much talk about salvaging the house. So whatever was discussed at the public hearing is on the record. And last week at the public hearing, he mentioned he wants to make a profit on this house.
Tear it down from the beginning is what he mentioned.
Well, I wasn't part of those discussions. I'm sorry.
Beyond that, could you not underpin this foundation and restore it and add onto this house and make a profit on that?
Of course, you could do that. I'm not going to tell you can't do that. But the question is, can you make a profit on it? That the restoration of the foundations in that house are not going to be inexpensive.
There's probably 70
place has to be shored, mm-hmm. jacked up, leveled. What value is that in someone who's coming to buy this house, who's moving from the city to live in River Forest and get into the school system? That's they have no intention of saying, oh gosh, we got a great new foundation now. They're looking for a place to live.
Mr. Magner, some of the values in the pocketbook are, I'm eliminating a large cost in demolition, a large cost in excavation, and I'm getting a real good chance getting an historic tax freeze, which is 13 years of tax at this current level passed on to the new buyer. That's a huge chunk of money. That's quite an under right there.
Neither of us are financial advisors, so I don't think we could really make a value judgment on that.
Well, it's
I know that Mark and Rob are looking to do what they want to do with the property. And as property owners, they have the right to do whatever they want pending the approval of this village.
Our goal is to try to show some alternatives of ways to make this thing be profitable.
Well, and I appreciate
demolition.
That. And again, I've done that on houses all over town, all over Oak Park. But in this situation, it just doesn't seem viable to me.
Is there, can talk about whether it's viable or not, but it comes down to this. I mean, can I address Rob? Can I ask questions of the audience? I don't quite know what the rules are. Okay. Rob, as long as you own the house, is there any circumstance you can envision where you would rehab the house instead of demolishing the house, as long as you're the owner?
I'm sorry. As long as I'm the owner of the
house. As long as you're the owner of the house, can you imagine any circumstance where you would rehab the house instead of tearing it down? Or are you set your mind to tear it down?
Please, thank you. And then the same thing, just make sure we're using the microphones.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Thank you.
You mean to repeat that, or was that clear?
If you could, that'd be great.
Okay, I'm
please,
sorry.
Rob, if you'd like to answer the question, if you could.
Go ahead.
If I felt that it was possible to rehab this home, I would do it. No question about it.
But you've got a lot of information now, right? So with the information you've got, do you think it's possible to rehab the house and meet your financial objectives?
Absolutely not.
So is your mind set on tearing it down?
Well, you've all seen, or most of you at least, have seen the condition of the property.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's been stated. It's not the condition is not good. So unfortunately, every time we go in, we find more and more issues with the home. And yes, it's been standing for 100 years, but yes, there are substantial issues with the property and the state that it's in. I mean, it's really, there are a lot of issues. I mean, you see, it's jacked up on both ends. I mean, it's not a solid structure. So I don't believe to rehab it is viable for me, no. I've said that. It's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate.
Yeah.
So I just don't know what the alternative is.
Yeah, I just wanted to get a clear statement. We talk about what we can do or can't do, right? And there's a few circumstances here. One, you own the home and you rehab it. One, you own the home and you tear it down. And one, we find an alternative buyer, for example. And
you've right.
expressed so a willingness to
about
do three.
Alternative buyer,
yeah.
But no one's come to me regarding that. So I
right,
think that's
right.
off the table. So
in terms of the other two options, we talk about the potential of rehabbing. For you, that's off the table. As long as you're the owner, you don't foresee circumstances where you're going to rehab
I think the cost
rehab
to rehab it would be incredibly expensive to do it.
Okay.
I mean, there are people who have rehabbed their homes on that street. I think there are people probably in the audience who have had issues with foundations as well. From what I understand, the house across the street has substantial foundation issues, and I think that's part of the reason why it's not selling. That's what I've heard.
So
I don't know if it's true. I'm just saying what I've heard.
So the point of this letter is to indicate more issues that tilt you towards, I'm sorry, I'm going to tear this down.
The point of the letter?
The letter.
The submission?
The submission.
Well, Pat, he wanted to see what was up with the foundation because we wanted to see why it was settling so much and see if there was something that was there that it just, unfortunately, each time we do any investigation into the property, it comes out more negative. And I apologize.
Okay.
So there's nothing we can really do about that.
Two questions. One, have you tracked any width of crack? Is anything settling currently, or is all settling taking
You've been
place
in the property. You've seen
yes.
You've seen the deflection from one side to the other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the house is like this on all four corners.
That often happens within the first 4 or 5 years of construction.
You think it would happen in the first 4 or 5 years
mm-hmm.
of construction?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, unfortunately, at that time, it was poorly constructed.
It was. You could almost go to any house in this village and say it's not current standards.
Well, there are a lot of homes in this village that were built prior to that period of time that are in much better condition and have much better structural elements to them.
May have been cared for. Beyond the mother question is, what do you anticipate spending on a new home, new construction?
That's kind of proprietary information.
Mm-hmm. Okay. As it relates, in my question is to what it would cost to renovate this, but what a new home would cost deals with your point. If I can't make a profit on this, that's why I'm asking that question.
The renovation, I would have to do an incredible amount of work on structural work in that property, as you're fully aware.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Pat has mentioned, if we were to try to stabilize, the house structure itself is not very sound, the way it's constructed. I'm assuming it's balloon frame,
mm-hmm.
that which was common at that time. I mean, pretty much that was all that was done at that time. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, to support that structure is difficult. I'm sure you're aware of it.
Mm-hmm. But again, to say you know it's too much to renovate it, what you're going to spend on a new home is unknown. It's a
But you know what the condition of the house is. You know what it looks like aesthetically. You know the issues with it, with the driveway, with all the things about it. I mean, that's the problem.
But you haven't done the analysis. You haven't studied one versus the other.
I have an idea of what my numbers are, yes. But I don't necessarily feel that I need to give you what those numbers are.
Okay. Have you incorporated the tax freeze into any of that figure?
And I don't believe that historical tax freeze works for this property because this is just a significant home in River Forest. It is not a historical property. It's not a landmark property.
It's in a historic district, which allows it to be entered into.
I don't understand. I don't know the tax code. I'm not an accountant.
But I think the question is this. I appreciate all the discussion about what's possible. The question is, what does the owner want to do? And so.
Well, actually, the question is really whether it's appropriate, what he wants to do.
Well, I would disagree because our decision is whether it's appropriate for what he wants to do. But the question of whether it can be rehabbed or not is we don't have any say in that. That's a decision that the owner gets to make. And again, the certificate of appropriateness we provided or we provided with conditions or we withhold it. But at the end of the day, the question, all this discussion of whether the house can be rehabbed is academic. It doesn't get us any.
So I think we're done talking.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of. I think we're kind of
okay
there
with that. Yeah. I mean,
thanks.
I was, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I feel. I mean, we know what the owners.
We've kind of talked this through. We kind of know where we're at.
Yeah.
I think we've got a pretty good sense of where folks stand. Sure.
Tom Berzichidek, 754 William. I mean, I agree, and I think I said it at the last meeting. Mr. Sarvis is in full control of what happens. The only thing this commission can do is to stall him as long as possible and make it hurt him financially and hopefully deter the next person from trying to do the same thing. So I would encourage you to, you know, I'd even forego the negotiations because I think they're meaningless. There's no teeth to them. I would just say you're withholding the certificate, let the clock run out. If possible, try to extend it. But at this point, we have no ability to influence what happens. All we can do is make it painful for him and the next person who tries to do this. Thank you.
Dave. We're obviously here to discuss and vote upon a certificate of appropriateness for demolition. In the context of our charge as a Historic Preservation Commission, we've just explicitly heard that the goal in this particular owner is not to salvage, but rather to demolish the property. There is a clear concern as to teardowns in our community. This is the third time in the last 3 to 4 years that a significant property has come before us under circumstances where the owner wished to demolish. And it has engendered a great deal of public comment, both in terms of numbers of people and their passions. We have limitations as to what we can do as a commission. We're limited by the provisions of the current ordinance. To the extent that people feel that the powers granted to the commission by the current ordinance do not sufficiently protect their interests as citizens interested in the preservation of the architectural patrimony of this community, I would suggest that you contact the village president and the trustees and make those views known. We've heard tonight about the owner's concern, obviously, as to the profit potential of the site and the construction of a replacement property. As to that profit potential, I know the last time we were visited with this question, we were looking at the Victor Mansion. Some people call it, called by the names of the second owners, the Mars Mansion. And that owner promptly demolished the property literally within a very short period of time, perhaps even the same day that he obtained his demolition permit, or it obtained its demolition permit. And two very large homes were constructed in its place. Those homes still sit on the market today. Is that correct, Carla?
Yep.
As far as we know. And there they sit a significant period of time later. One of the aspects of our community is the interest of people in maintaining and living in their historic properties. So I would caution the owner as to any plans he has in the post-demolition, if that is the sad occurrence, as to his profit potential. Our focus in our charge specifically deals, in terms of the context of preservation, with the viewable exterior from public ways and streets, in particular the facade, as well as lot coverage in the streetscape. In this instance, correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, but I think it's widely believed that what's currently the front enclosed room was actually built initially as an open porch, which was subsequently enclosed.
Correct.
Therefore, I would be in favor of limiting the maximum demolition delay only in the event that certain conditions were agreed upon and performed by the owner, in particular, but not limited to, retaining the original facade, both in design and in materials, in its present context, minus the front porch, because that would, in all likelihood, have been the original configuration of the property. Those are my thoughts.
Anybody else have any comments? Anybody have a motion?
Motion to vote.
Yeah. No, you need to have.
So if the
vote on what?
If the commission is ready to vote, the appropriate motion would be to first close the public hearing, and then a follow up motion to either award or withhold the certificate of appropriateness for the demolition of 747.
Okay. Motion to close the public
second.
Hearing.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay.
Okay.
Motion to vote on the certificate of appropriateness, either granting it with conditions as it was explained to us, or denying it. So in other words, three options.
Right. So those are the three options that to kind of get the discussion going. Someone needs to make a motion, or you can talk a little bit before you make the motion.
Yeah, I move to deny the certificate of appropriateness.
So a motion to withhold the certificate of appropriateness and issue a certificate of demolition delay for
the maximum period permitted by the ordinance, which I understand to be 6 months.
That's correct.
Second?
Seconded.
Any discussion?
Any discussion?
Yeah, 6 months from the completion of the application, which was October the 25th.
Fifth.
Right. So that's four more months, basically.
It would be April.
But we can't put the three options out there and say vote for it, and then
So if you guys are interested in adding conditions, you can talk about those now and kind of see, is there a consensus?
Or we could talk about it after this vote.
If there's a motion on the table.
There's a motion on the table. It's been seconded. There can be a discussion now. But we need to take
about that motion.
We need to take a vote on this motion. If it's voted up, then that's the decision of the commission. Okay. If it's voted down, we could hear another motion.
If it's voted down, can this motion and then we talk it out and maybe we decide to vote on something else, but we can't reach agreement or with a majority? Do we come back to this? I mean, I don't understand. That's why
come back to this motion.
Yeah. In other words, if there's three people in favor of A and two people in favor of B.
three people in favor of C, then it would seem like A would be, you know, the choice. So that's why I thought maybe we could put all three out there and see where people stood.
Right. So I guess my suggestion is to how you proceed. You have a motion in a second. You're allowed to discuss that and potentially amend that. So we talked about this a little last time. We have the motion to withhold for the full and do the demolition delay for the full 6 months. And you could, in addition, and subject to the following conditions, we are willing to shorten it to blank. You can talk about that now, and if someone wants to amend the motion to add that aspect to it, and there's enough sentiment, then you can go ahead and add that to it.
Because we have at least, I think, three people here who would be willing to vote for the situation where we provide the certificate of appropriateness if certain conditions are met. I think that I just heard you say that, too.
Let's find out.
Let's find out.
Okay, well, how do we find out?
We can vote. Are people willing, is there a willingness to do conditions under any circumstances?
No.
Well, I don't think this is appropriate, okay? I don't think we can issue a certificate of appropriateness. We can potentially reduce the amount of delay, but in no case is this appropriate from the perspective of the Preservation Commission.
If we vote for to turn down the certificate, can we then go and say we need to discuss the possibility of conditions that would shorten the period of time?
This is all one motion here. So you are right that you could withhold the certificate of appropriateness. I think that's where everyone's at. In that case, there is an option to issue the full delay of the period to 6 months. There's also an option to lessen that time period on conditions. I think that's what I'm hearing. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
So but what has been moved is...
Yeah. The motion on the table that's been seconded, and the record will reflect, is to deny or withhold, same, they're synonyms, the certificate of appropriateness and issue a delay of demolition for the maximum period permitted by the ordinance.
That's the motion.
I'm still confused. Because then if we vote on that, then how do we get to the issue of conditions? Well, I mean, I'm sorry.
If we vote on that and it's voted up, then that is the commission's decision.
Then we're done. And we never get to discuss the potential conditions that would result in that being reduced.
Correct.
Right, so what we're kind of discussing... You can do it either way. If you're comfortable and you want to vote on the motion first and then talk about a second motion where you consider
the amount of delay
or with conditions, we can do that. But you can't go back then and change the 6 months. You've got that on the table. And I think everyone's probably comfortable with that. So the decision would be we've voted on the motion for the full 6 months, and then is there a situation where you would be willing to impose conditions to
reduce it?
And that would be the
second motion.
Okay. So let's deal with the first motion first.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Yep. Everybody understands what motion we're voting on?
Could it be repeated, please?
Sure. The motion on the table is to deny the certificate of appropriateness for the application for the demolition of 747 William and issue the full demolition delay allowed upon under the ordinance, which is 6 months, to expire April 25th, 2018.
Okay.
Commissioner Prestes.
Aye. It's my motion.
Yeah, that's fair. Commissioner Popwick.
No.
Yes. Commissioner Raina Ogden. Chairman Zarowski.
Yes.
Commissioner Graham White.
Yes.
Commissioner Pritz.
Yes.
Commissioner Franek.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. Now, how do we issue the motion to discuss reducing that with conditions? Do we have to place those conditions out now, or do we have to take and
I think they could be discussed, and then somebody could make a follow-up motion to add those conditions. to add those conditions. It would need to be seconded and then need to be voted up.
Okay. Do you have to make a motion to discuss that?
Nope.
No.
You can just discuss.
Okay. Because the things that I have heard in terms of the suggested conditions, and this isn't going to include yours, so I know you're going to have to amend this because I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Okay.
So I've heard maintaining the front facade. I've heard same building materials. I've heard same setback. I've heard same height. Okay. I've heard limiting the square feet, and I know that's imprecise to state it like that, but I think that that's covered in some manner under the zoning ordinances in terms of, you know, given the size of the lot and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And
by restoring the property to as to its facade, I would offer the possibility of removing the existing front room, which is currently an enclosed room, and returning it to its original front porch nature, because many of the comments that I've heard from the owner and his architect have focused on, in particular, the sloping of the floor and the foundation conditions with respect to that room.
So what's the condition?
The condition would be that the restoration of the original facade, which would include the possibility of removing the exterior permanent walls from the front room and restoring it as an enclosed porch.
Okay, so where I said maintain the front facade with, you would like that to say maintain front facade with the front room being an open porch?
Correct.
Okay, so I know that we need the discussion, or we need the owner to agree to the condition.
Right.
So do we have to engage him in this process, or?
You can ask him if he agrees. He doesn't have to agree to him. You guys can say,
oh, we will issue. We will shorten.
If you meet these terms, we will shorten.
If you meet these terms,
yeah.
And I would add one more condition here, which I don't really think. I think these conditions are meant to. This is built a lot, Sue, on your comments. So tell me if I missed anything. Okay, but I would also maintain that the house should be in the style of the block. I really don't see it said. I think it's implied in here, but I'd like it to be explicit.
Mm-hmm.
So I will. I motion that we in the circumstance where the homeowner is willing to maintain the front facade with the current front room restored to a front porch, that he, if he uses the same building materials, if he uses the same setback, if he uses the same height, if he limits the square feet to, well, I mean, I don't know.
It's 3,200 is about like the max it can build.
How much?
3,200, I think.
3,200.
By regulations or by the existing?
By zoning.
Would 3,200, does anyone want to have discussion on whether 3,200 square feet is too big for the lot size or for the character of the neighborhood?
It's if it goes to the back of the house. Yeah, 3,000 would probably fill up that lot pretty well.
So we would prefer it to be 3,000, no more than 3,000 square feet. Okay. So I'm just making a note so I get this right. So I motion that we
consider
shortening the period or allowing the current owner to tear down the house if he agrees to the following conditions: maintaining the front facade with the now existing front room turned into a porch, that he use the same building materials, that he use the same setback, that it maintain the same height, that he limit the square feet of the house to 3,000 square feet, and that if he...
And build it in the style of...
Yeah, and he build it in the style of the homes on the block, and that if he, and as indicated by submitting the plans, for our review,
And if he meets those conditions, then we would issue the certificate of demolition.
I second the motion.
Excuse me, the one thing that wasn't mentioned in this meeting, which was, is the roofs alternate from hip to pitch roofs every other house, so we want that maintained as well.
What is the current house?
It's a gable roof, the gable of the house, and the house the on the other side is a hip roof.
But it's meeting the front facade, is that included?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's retaining the original facade design.
Which that covers that, the original facade, it has a pitch roof there, so a gable roof.
So we're confident that the conditions that we laid them out would meet that need or mm-hmm. that desire? Okay.
Just okay. To be clear.
Right, so the idea of setting the conditions is not that he comes back here and shows you plans and debates. You're setting these conditions that he can turn in plans. You outline these so that staff is able to determine whether they're met.
Fair enough, great.
And if so, they're authorized to issue the permit earlier. Okay. And you need to set an earlier... Are you just saying open-ended? So long as
I'm
he submits plans...
I'm saying that if he submits plans that meet these conditions, then the certificate of appropriateness would be granted as soon as that determination is made.
No, the demolition delay
would expire.
Great. Okay.
In the demolition permit. Are you comfortable with that?
Yes.
Okay. Do we need to repeat
all this? We can try this. John, take a stab at summarizing.
Can I ask a question? I understand there was or maybe almost was a motion on the table, but I'm only now beginning to sort of comprehend. Can I make a comment on the proposal that's on the table? If it's too late, that's fine. I'll just vote no.
No, you're fine. No.
My concern here is severalfold. One, I think there's a substantial logistical / enforcement concern. Even in a world in which the homeowner were to agree to the conditions, he may not, I have no idea. But even in a world in which he were to agree, I think it's going to be challenging and difficult to get real compliance. And in addition, I have a concern about the commission being complicit in what is by all measures a grossly historically and architecturally inappropriate first move. So this is sort of like someone says, I'm here to rob you, and you say, well, gee whiz, if you're going to do that, at least do it this way and not that way. My view is we ought not to be a part of it. And, you know, at the end of the day, subject to zoning, if the builder wants to build a Ferris wheel, then, you know, so be it. And it'll be a moment where people in the village can think about, is this the kind of thing we want on the block? And hopefully spur additional change or changes, whether it's in the zoning law, the building law, or something else. But I don't feel especially competent to dream up and dictate particular standards that sort of optimize whatever it is we're trying to optimize. And on the other hand, I'm not especially confident we'll get it right, or that the village has the infrastructure to sort of appropriately police it. And that's not a knock on anybody. It's a point that it's a novel idea. And although I applaud the effort to sort of be realistic and pragmatic and try to make some lemonade of what, at least from the perspective of this commission, is a lemon, my take is we ought not to be in the business, and that instead we ought to express our disapproval as a commission by mandating the maximum delay. And just to be clear, none of this is a vote on whether these guys are good guys or bad guys, or about the future of the village's economy, or any great big questions in the world. Those are questions for God or other people who are much smarter than me. To me, this is just a simple question about historic preservation and whether demolishing this architecturally significant house is historically and architecturally appropriate from a preservation standpoint. And I think it's pretty clear that it isn't.
I totally agree with Brian, except that I think that we are being robbed. And at this point, we are being held up by gunpoint. And maybe we can say, okay, rob us, but let's, don't take all my money.
Don't shoot me.
Yeah, don't shoot me. And I think perhaps that this might be the best solution at this point, if the buyer is, the owner is willing to agree to what conditions we ask, and that once this is done, that the commission go back and see what is wrong with the current ordinance. Basically, like, is 6 months much too short? You know, maybe a realtor, a developer will think twice if we say it's 1 year, 18 months, because we had a long discussion about that before we did it, and the 6 months was in the shorter period of time that a lot of communities had. I mean, I think that's, you know, one way of thinking about
it. Here's a great question. Rob, do you care about any of the stuff that we're talking about? I mean, seriously. I mean, all these conditions that we're laying out for you, is it going to change?
Of course I do. I've been here.
What I'm saying is, if we create this list of demands, do you think it's something that you want to do? Are we wasting our time trying to spell this out, or is it, are you just gonna?
Let's hear what happens here. I mean, I think, yeah, I've stated from day one I've been willing to kind of work with you on, and now it's some sort of.
I understand that you have worked with us. Believe me, I'm just wondering if we've gotten to a point where you, like, we're saying things that you're kind of like looking at us and going, I'm not going to do any of that. Just wondering, you know, are we wasting our time trying to define it like this, or do you need to move the house and do something different to make the money that you want to make?
I don't know I have an idea of what the conditions are, and there's nothing that's been decided, so I really can't even react to it at this point.
I was just trying to clarify if we've talked about anything that is kind of like a deal breaker for you. That's all. Like, we have to salvage the facade. We have to do this. We have to do that. I mean, there's some very specific things that that are being discussed here. And if there's something that are deal breakers for you, then let's not waste our time anymore here to discuss them. That's all I'm saying.
Let's discuss them and see if there's a compromise that you want to accept.
Well, no, we got a motion on the table. It's been seconded now. Let's go with this.
Yeah. No, it hasn't been seconded yet, has it?
Yeah, I seconded it. Yes.
I just want to what Brian said and what Carlos said, too, which is I really support Carlos' point of view. I mean, the ordinance is written in a way that if we're being robbed, then let's stop not us from being shot. It's the neighbors, right? And what we want to do is have the best chance of having something that fits the neighborhood. There might be other options still on the table in terms of finding somebody to buy the property. Those are being investigated outside the ordinance, but the ordinance and what we're doing tonight is very clear. So my main concern here is to give all these concerned homeowners to the maximum extent that we can protection. So I appreciate the financial penalty of waiting 6 months. I'm with Carl. I don't know, since that started in October, that's really much, right? What I don't want you to wake up to, and I don't think this is Rob's intention, but I don't want you to wake up to a modern, you know, a house that's brick and all kinds of things that are going to make your life miserable.
My concern is, you can agree to anything, you can build whatever you want. There's no legal.
Well, that's the question. I don't know that we've explored that. So if he agrees to the terms and the village decides to grant him. That he's met the conditions, and they say we're granting the demolition certificate, and he goes, and then he builds something that violates it. What happens?
Well, so the way the conditions work is, if he wants to shorten the delay from 6 months, he would bring in plans that meet the conditions, in which case staff would be authorized to issue building permits. He's then tied to building what. The building permit, the approved plans are. Now you could issue these conditions and he could not come in with plans or come in with different plans and just wait the 6 months and build whatever he wants.
Right, but if he comes in and we issue the certificate of demolition, he can't just turn around and
correct the enforcement mechanism
whatever
is
he wants. It's like, no, we granted it on the basis of that.
Right, exactly. But before we
In the interest of staff being able to have some certainty in looking at these plans and the assumption that he comes in, I just wanted to get clarification on a couple. When we say same height, does that mean not to exceed or exactly the same height?
Not to exceed.
Okay.
Right, correct. Anybody have a concern over that? Not to exceed.
In discussion, can we add anything else in this discussion, or has the motion already been?
Actually, I don't think the motion was. I think you started stating the motion. I thought Jonathan was actually
going to restate
the formally motion to formally make it.
Okay, so Al seconded it. Has not been seconded.
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to.
Correct, because he was trying to. He was trying to formulate it. I mean.
All right. So I was too early. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not been seconded.
Brian, could
right.
we
okay.
add then that any addition be set back 5 feet from the facade?
Well, if this house was built to a grid, now why would we change the grid? We're saying setback. Right?
I'd like not to have this facade or something built right at the same plane as this facade, so it loses its recognition. If something is set back 5 feet from that piece of the house still remains as recognizable from the original house.
The condition is that he has to build a front porch that is an open front porch with the same facade.
It's set back from this, the rear facade of what I'm after, the main facade, the two-story facade.
The enclosed home.
As opposed to the front of what was
correct.
The porch.
Suppose the lining up with this facade. That'd be
so maintain the same setback as measured. How would you say that?
But it be set back, any addition be set back 5 feet from the main two-story facade.
I'm sorry, say that again.
That any addition to the home be set back 5 feet from the current facade. Current two-story facade.
I don't know what that does. I'm sorry, I'm confused.
If you look at this drawing, and that's one plane, if I did an addition that came up and over and did this and was the same plane as that facade,
yes.
It's going to really water down that facade and deter from it. If I have something that's set back a little
I
bit from
see.
That.
Any addition. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's the same setback and it's a new condition,
so
which is any addition.
I mean, even this, which everyone referred to as, you know, a battle on the block, you still recognize that original piece of the gable there, at the facade.
So setback 5 feet or more.
Yeah, or more.
From
minimum 5 feet
from the main facade.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I heard you say it.
Okay, and then my main concern is this. Condition that it be built in the style of the block. I think staff needs a little something more to be able to understand what that means.
What would that style be?
Simple prairie school.
Simple prairie school.
Mm-hmm.
So just before John repeats it, turns it into a formal thing, here's what I hear. Maintain the front facade. Any addition be set back a minimum of 5 feet from the main facade. The main facade being not including the porch. That it use the same building materials. That it have the same setback. That it not exceed the current height. That it be limited to 3,000 square feet.
And that the gable roof be maintained?
No, the gable roof we decided was covered by saying maintain the
facade.
And the building materials, as I understand it, are stucco and wood?
Mm-hmm. Stucco and wood.
Okay, that sounded pretty good.
Okay, I'm going to restate the motion, then I'd ask you to confirm that is your motion, and then we can hear a second. So the motion is to allow the homeowner to obtain a demolition permit contingent upon the meeting of conditions that new building permits are brought in that meet the following conditions: that they retain the original facade of the structure, however the current front room is retained to its original look as a front porch, an open front porch, that the original materials are used, which are stucco and wood, that the current front yard setback be maintained, that the current height of the structure is not exceeded, that the square footage be less than 3,000 square feet, that the home be built within the style of simple prairie school, and that any addition that is added to the house be set back at least 5 feet from the front facade. Is that your motion?
Yes, that is my motion.
Is there a second?
No.
I'll second it.
We'll take a vote.
Any discussion?
Okay. Commissioner Prestes?
No.
Commissioner Popowitz?
Yes.
Commissioner Rano Ogden?
Yes.
Chairman Zarowski?
No.
Commissioner Graham White?
Yes.
Commissioner Pritz?
Yes.
Commissioner Franek?
I am persuaded by the practical comments of Commissioner Prestes, specifically as to the determination of whether any plan meets our concern by village staff. That's not a comment upon any individual members of village staff, but just that it's very difficult to place that burden on someone else who didn't design it. Therefore, I vote no.
So I have the vote as 4-3 with the yeses having it, and the motion carries.
Okay.
I think what will happen now is that I will memorialize those two motions in a written letter. The ordinance requires that that letter is caused to be administered to the applicant within 15 days of today. So what I would like to do, correct me if I'm wrong, is prepare that letter, just have
Jim Zarowski reviewed by the chairman and executed by the chairman.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Any other business? We do have Danish to eat. Anybody's hungry? And some Frangomas.
And then is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.